Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this annual parish meeting. Lovely to see so many faces here tonight. It's really great. It's really great that you all turned out on this very cold, wintry evening. But we've got to go through a little bit of housekeeping first, so if you can just bear with me for 5 to 10 minutes, and then we can move on to the key items of the agenda. Item number one, parish council welcome to the residents, introducing attending councillors. Could all the councillors please put their hands up so that the attendees know who you are? And you can pick these people out and have a drink with them afterwards and ask them any questions you want. So hopefully we'll move on to that. To receive apologies for absence. Clark, did we?
Yeah, apologies from councillors Campbell, Hart, Redalingus and Canagan.
Okay, thank you. We won't need to authorise that. Right, moving on to item three, to approve the minutes of the annual parish meeting held on the 12th of May 2025. There was nothing reported back. And could I just have, just for protocol, can I have someone to propose those? Councillor Barnes, seconded. Councillor Hand. Okay. Thank you. Moving on now, item four, you will all see that there is a nice pack looking around. Which our clerk has very kindly put together, which gives all of the annual reports from the various committees, working parties that we have here, and obviously all of the charities. Now, if there's anybody here from any of the charities that would like to say anything, I don't know, Mavis, if you'd like to say something on behalf of the almshouses. If you want to, yes, we're just going to take it as it flows. The document's there to be read. If you have any questions or anything like that, you can ask people afterwards. But all we've detailed in here is the committees that we have as a parish and what we get up to on those various committees and working parties. And obviously then is the reports in from the charities and all of the societies. So if anybody would like to say anything.
Fine.
If you want to go ahead with the almshouse one. Thank you.
On the Francis Frontier Almshouses charity. And I was on the parish council for pretty 7 years, which is a long time, long before any of you were on the parish council. And when I came off the parish council, I was asked to stay on as the parish council representative. So each year I've given this report, I do my duty to report to parish council on what has been going on at the almshouses. Last year was a momentous year, it was our centenary. Now, who knows where the almshouses are? Arthur, not from you know. And you know.
Where are they? There's someone just on the road.
Good. Most people think the almshouse is a Sheepshead Road. On the way on the Cambridge Road, the long road of cottages wearing low doors. And it was called Sheepshead Road, here we go on to the History Society. It was called Sheepshead Road because when the coach left Royston in the 1700s, it was so quiet in the countryside that you could hear the coach leaving Royston and all the ladies with their mob caps. You put their heads out of the door to watch coachmen pass, it was the big thing of the day. And the coach drivers used to say they looked like sheep's heads looking out, and that's why it's called Sheep's Head Road. But apart from that, this year has been quite calm in the almshouses, apart from a case of damp in one of the chimneys, which causes a lot of problems. We're very, very lucky in that we've had good support from the Almshouse Association, who have lent us money on occasion with interest-free loans so we can make improvements. They are now wonderful, aren't they? I mean, I'd ditch George and go and live there any time because they're very funny, so the ladies are open. And I think Arthur, we can say that they're in very good position now.
I think they are. I mean, they've got a big sitting room, a bedroom, a kitchen and toilet, and they pay £310 a month.
You shouldn't tell me that. We don't take gentlemen.
But only for the needy female of Melbourne. So what is needy?
Anyway, that's really, I have written something here, which, with Abby's collusion, I thought I'd have a little bit of fun, because last year, Abby said to me, certainly noticed, said, will you please send me a brief report? But I do tend to waffle on a bit. Let's send me a brief report about the almshouses, but I thought, no, it's a centenary, so I wrote the history of almshouses and all the things to be done. So this year, I thought I'd make it really short. I give myself a challenge. I've written it in a certain odd way, so if you read it, think about five sentences, you'll see what I've done.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
They'll notice.
Thank you very much for that. Is there anybody here from Triggs Charity? Would you like to say anything? Anybody from Triggs Charity? Anybody wants to say anything? If not, we'll move on. Melbourne District Warden Scheme. Anybody here? Did you want... Sorry, did you... No, behind you. No, she's... Sarah. No, you didn't say. So, sorry, I thought you were going to say. No. So I just wanted to say something. Coming through Melbourne Community Hub, is there anything to be said? There is a report. All of these have got reports in there. Melbourne Community Lunch Club. Melbourne and Melbourne's Lunch Club. Okay. And the Rail Partnership.
Yes.
If you'd like to say something. Got to you.
Yeah. So the Future Rail Partnership, I'm just going to mention my annual report, or a draft version, is in here. It's not the final version because I won't do the final version on the 13th of March, and it needed to be in quite a lot earlier. So there's going to be a lot of blank for the finance phase, because I haven't got the finance yet. But I did just want to mention just a few things. The first is that since obviously last year we've actually rebranded the Meteor Rail Partnership and we're now the Cam Valley Meteor Rail Partnership. This just reflects a slightly wider geography. Mm-hmm. So as well as looking after Melbourne Shepherd and Foxton, we've now included Shelford and Woodison Parkway in our partnership, so four stations in South Cambridgeshire. And we're also looking forward to the opening of the Cambridge South station when that comes, which we're still hoping will be somewhere around the end of June, but I will try and keep you all updated on that. Second thing I want to say a big thank you to Steph, who organises well-being walks, because I'm still coming here on a Wednesday morning most weeks to walk with well-being walkers, and it's like one of the highlights of my week. I really, really enjoy that. And one of the things that we did last year was we walked the well-being walkers to the station. We admired the wildflowers on Lincolncroft and we raised money for Mind, which is the corporate charity of the GTR Rail Company that I work with, so that was very much appreciated. You'll see in the annual report there's a page which has got lots of pictures on, which is my page 5, your page 31. These are all the pictures that are around the activities that went on the Link Park this year. So again, I just want to say a massive thank you to all the volunteers that helped us out. So we had the girl guides who came and they did the planting of the wildflower seeds. They worked really, really hard. They did breaking, they did mixing, they did scattering. They really did work incredibly hard. And then it didn't rain for 3 weeks, and I thought we'd share that with that, nothing was going to happen. And then it rained, and then all the flowers came, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And we had flowers from about sort of April to well into November, so that was really brilliant. And also then a bit later on in the year we had a bulb planting event. Again, massive thanks to all the volunteers that came and either donated or planted bulbs. And those are around the bench, which is near the working out really, really well. The other thing I've been doing this year, is celebrating Railway 200. So this is the 200th anniversary of the first passenger railway in Stockton and Darlington. And we've been doing lots and lots of events around, and I want to say a big massive thanks to the Melbourne History Society, who did produce a fantastic display that was in the station all about the history of the Lincoln Park and so on. and I've actually upgraded a history board which has the timeline of the station. Whilst it is not yet up at the station, it will be eventually. They're waiting to replaster the wall. When the wall is replastered, then the timeline can go up. But yes, that's pretty much what I've been doing as regards to the board this year.
Thank you. Very much. Thanks, well done. Thank you. Anybody from community allotment here? Would you like to pass any comments? Or there is a report in here, obviously. Would you like to say anything?
Yeah, we've had a meeting actually here last year. We've made quite a lot of easier now. So we're trying to know loading approach, which is cardboard and
carbon
down and then sort of top, and
going to
try and produce something out of that this year. So,
good. It's quite a success. It does look very good down there.
Yeah.
It does. Looks very, very good. Okay. Anybody else on the charity front would like to say anything that's in the report? Okay. You will see within the report as well, if you skim through this, you'll see the donations that have come out of when we have the grants arrangements, which we do twice a year, where we're fortunate enough to get funding from the solar farms. It's called S137 monies, where we have two distributions a year. You'll see in there's quite a lot of money gets distributed out to numerous charities within the village. Unfortunately, we've still got quite a few more years of that to go, I think, and we might even get it extended. So that's potentially good news, but watch this space for that one. But you know, so there's quite a lot of money gets distributed within the community through those sort of schemes, so we're very, very fortunate. Right, moving on, what I'd like to do now is just pass over to our county councillor.
Thank you.
And I think, unfortunately, our district councillors can't make it, but I believe Adam has has a report. So I'll pass over just the district councillors and the county councillors' report.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, I'm Adam. It's always a pleasure to be at Melbourne Parish Council. I guess all the community groups we've already heard of, and there's many more in there, are testament to the engagement and energy of the village. So I've got a report in the booklet. Would you like me to say something about that? Yes? Yeah? All right. So I will go through it, but not...
I'm sorry, you can't hear you.
Okay, I'll try and speak up a bit more. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. So I won't go through it in quite in the order that it's in there, but I'll cover most of the points. So what have I been doing as a county councillor for the last year? I'll give you a bit of an account of that. So one thing we've been doing is responding to government demands. So one particular one is local government reorganization, and that is the plan that district and county councils will merge into unitary authorities in 2 years' time. As many of you here will know, there's two main options in play, but in either case, whatever the government decides, and it is the government that will decide, South Cairns will be together with the city, which is what most other parts of Cambridgeshire would dearly love, and we're lucky enough to basically have that as a guaranteed outcome. If you're interested in the intricacies of the two options, I won't go through them. There's hundreds and hundreds of pages written about them, but I think it's pretty clear which way the political wind is blowing. And I think the decision makers in London, they've noticed that basically the option that is for a greater Cambridge, which would be just South Cairns in the city without anybody else involved, has been put forward with the greatest enthusiasm to support what's called the National Mission of Growth. So obviously the reason why the government is so interested in our area is because they want us to grow, pay more taxes. Is that a question?
I'm not too keen on the latter.
Yeah. If you have a view on this, there's still a consultation open until the 26th of March, so you can still put in your views. And I'm obviously happy to talk to anyone who's interested in the topic. More recently, we've also been doing some work to, I guess, clarify what the scope is of what is called the Greater Cambridge Development Corporation, which is basically a plan by the government to install a development corporation here, like, for example, for London Docklands, in order to accelerate growth. I guess our view is that, as it's currently envisaged, it's quite unclear what value it will add, and it will probably just complicate local government. But there is a case for saying we need help in terms of addressing our transport and water and other infrastructure issues that we have in Cambridgeshire. So I guess our view is, if the government wants to bring in extra manpower, let them focus on that. So the short summary of all this is, this summer you can expect lots of announcements about long-term change in our area, and also, I guess, get ready for more talk about growth. All right. The second thing that we've been doing at the County Council as County Councillors is we scrutinize and set the direction for the work of the County Council. And just to give you an idea, the County Council is 4,600 employees, so it's a big organization. Yeah? The annual budget is £1.3 billion. So it's a learning curve for me too to try and influence what is happening there. It's a lot of people and a lot of excellent people. I've said a bit about the budget in the report. I guess the one thing to emphasize here is the County Council does more than highways. Actually, highways is a fairly small part of what the County Council does. A lot of the money and the activity goes towards social care and education. So these are statutory services that we have to provide. They take up the lion's share of the resource, and then there's some other non-statutory services and functions that we provide. But as far as social care, for example, is concerned, you know, many people out there, and I'll come onto highways in a second, don't ever interact with the council, but they don't realize there's a lot of other things being done by excellent people in that organization. As part of my work at the County Council, I've also had the opportunity to influence the future work of the council in at least two areas. So one is, the council has an economic strategy, and as part of that, I've asked officers to look at, and also to ask young people, how AI is impacting on their career progression and options, and actually, for many people, making life harder. So there will be some work done on this topic as part of our economic strategy, and specifically, we ask them to also talk to young people about this. The second area where I've influenced policy is as part of my role on the Environment and Climate Change, Environment and Green Investment Committee. I've asked officers to take a closer look at the community benefits that renewable energy schemes pay to communities and to parishes, including this parish council, over the years. So for example, the solar farm over at Bury Lane pays a considerable amount of money every year towards the local parishes. And as renewables become more important, these community contributions will become more important. All right, so those are two of the areas. So the third area is obviously responding to local issues and serving residents, and that's a big part of what we do. Would you like me to say something about potholes? Or shall I skip that?
Just go and fill them in.
Yeah. All right. So we've spent, it's taking up a lot of my bandwidth. It's taking up a lot of bandwidth across the council, is the first thing to say. The chair will know, and the clerk will know, we had a presentation on this just on Monday by the chair of the Highways Committee. So we've had an hour with them telling us what the situation is and why it's hard. So I'll cover quickly why things are so bad, and then what we're doing about it. So why are things so bad? I mean, the basic story is there has been a long-term underinvestment in highways. And even if you look around the potholes, you can see that in many places the roads aren't in a good state. Right? They're breaking up, the surfaces are degraded, etc. And that is just a fact. So there's a long-term underinvestment, and it's been estimated that fixing all of that would cost on the order of £800 million. Across the country, we're looking at something like £18 billion. So I guess you can see that given the budget we have, we can't just drop everything and fix the highways because nothing else will be done for the best part of a year. So given that the roads are in a bad state, when it gets cold and wet, then potholes are inevitable. And this year they came harder and faster and earlier than expected. Yeah, and we have to be honest about that. People often ask about the quality of the repairs, again rightly. We're tied into a 10-year maintenance contract that started in 2017. That gives us very little comeback when things aren't done properly, other than asking them to do it again. But there's no penalties built into the contract. So that contract from 2017 is the end of that is on the horizon, and we are starting to, well, we are in the process of renegotiating that. So what are we doing about the problem? The first thing to say is over the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a huge amount of work on how the highways are managed, from condition monitoring, bringing in a new asset management system, and also to reorganizing the department and bringing in new talent. So that's sort of basically the department getting itself organized. Then over the winter, we've mobilized significant resources. So normally there's about 8 crews around the county going and fixing things like potholes. Over the winter, we surged that to 32 crews, 3 dragon patchers, fixing most recently more than 2,000 potholes a week. Yeah, so even if the one on your road isn't being done, they are being done, and they will get around to Melbourne, especially now that the weather is better. And going forward, we are investing more. So the most recent budget includes £58 million for highways maintenance, and out of that, about £37 million are just for carriageway repairs. So it's not going, there's other areas that need money, but the lion's share is actually going into the carriageways. This includes £20 million on top of government funding, including for preventive work, but also for improvement schemes, and some of them will be happening in Melbourne over the coming year. So the short summary here is we're working hard to get on top of this. I've also been working with the local schools, and in particular actually with all the local councils, with the parish council and with the district councillors involved. We have a group with the school that's called the Melbourne Practical Solutions Group, and that group met at the village college for the first time since the pandemic, and we've got some exciting projects that are sort of starting to take shape. We've also been doing work on buses, and I can't remember whether that was in my report, but basically we've given coordinated and consolidated feedback about the bus services to the combined authority. They're the people that run buses. Things have somewhat improved, and we're looking also together with them at the shape of future services and where they might go from here. I mean, Cambridge is obviously a distant destination, but there might be more scope for buses across the border into Hertfordshire. All right, so that's pretty much the end of my report. As I said, I always love coming to Melbourne. Great groups in the village. Looking forward to meeting more of the residents over the coming year. I live in Melbourne, I'm not far away. I spend about 8 hours when I go to work every day in Melbourne. So I know the village well and the potholes. And I'll leave it at that for my report. Should I quickly do this
please,
as well?
Please, thank you, Adam.
Yeah. All right, and then Sally Ann Hart and Joe Hales have sent their apologies. And Sally Ann, the district councillor, has just sent a little note that she asked me to read out. So she says, "I'm sorry I can't be here tonight. I was contracted to work in Warwickshire this week over a year ago, so we'll miss hearing all the reports and the refreshments. I hope our 2025-2026 annual report is of interest, builds on the previous one, providing updates to key areas, including how the use of SCDC's low-income family tracker has developed. It also celebrates milestones in the building of council house stock and highlights the latest set of consultations. The next 12 months will be a time of significant change in local government, and Joe's and I have committed to do all we can to help the transition to whatever option selected by the Secretary of State to be as smooth as possible. As always, please don't hesitate to get in touch if there's anything that needs further explanation. Hopefully, the merging of county and district council responsibilities will remove one layer of potential confusion. I definitely agree with that. Warmest wishes, Sally Ann.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks very much indeed, Anne.
All right.
We're going to open the forum anyway in a minute. But thank you for that, for those reports. Just before I open up on point six, if anybody is interested in getting involved with the council, either on, we have working parties and we have some groups which actually engage with the local public as well, and there's a couple of big projects going to be kicking in, hopefully, if everything goes to plan, sometime this year. I'm not going to elaborate on that anymore, but we will be asking for volunteers from the village with expertise and knowledge, etc., etc., because there are some big things going to be kicking in if everything goes to plan. But what I would like to say is, if anybody's interested in getting involved with the parish council, it might be worth turning up to a couple of council meetings just to see how things are actually done, and maybe even sitting in on committees which are open to the public anyway, and working parties, just to see how the things go and what you would potentially be letting yourself in for if you did decide to sign up and join this great band of warriors. But so it's filling in forms with an informed basis. So I would encourage people, if you do think about or want to think about getting involved with the council, we have a couple of vacancies at the moment, come in, see what goes on and see how things are run, talk to people at those meetings or after those meetings, and hopefully it might, you know, give you a better understanding of what we do and why we do it and why we make certain decisions, and it might be something that you feel like putting your papers in for and trying to join the council and being part of the process. So that's enough of me, enough of us. What I would like to do now is open up the forum under item 6, ask questions no matter what they are, to deal with your local community. So the floor is yours, people. Just a hand up so we can just direct it. And then there's a number of councillors here, there's county councillors here, the clerks here. So we're happy to take questions. Right, hand was up first.
I've been reading about the bins. Are we having a bin change?
I do believe there is going to be a bin change, but...
So I believe there's a food caddy is coming. And
are we going to get extra bins?
I don't think we're getting extra bins. I just know about the food caddy. Is that correct? Yeah. So it's a small caddy,
a small one
for food waste. I think that's it. Yeah. And the reason being that food, when it breaks down, releases a lot of methane. If you put it in a facility, you can capture the methane and turn it into electricity. Whereas, in the atmosphere, methane causes a lot of global warming. Unlike plant waste, so the green bins are for plant waste.
So we're going to get a green one, a little small one, because I haven't got one.
You will get a little one. It's not green. I think it's sort of purple. Or
are we going to get one?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
I think I think the only other change I've noticed when you read through the CAMS magazine is that a lot of people put paper waste into the composter bin. That should be going into the blue bins now with clear plastic bags or a paper bag, as opposed to a lot of people sort of tend to put shredded paper and things into their garden waste one. But I think they're asking you to stop doing that.
Could I pay you a compliment, please? My drive is quite a long drive and it goes up a hill. At the moment, it feels like walking up a hill. It's actually about like that. But we contacted the council a couple of years ago and said it's increasingly difficult for my husband and I, we're both over 90, to pull the bins, a heavy bin, down the drive. And your men are wonderful. They come all the way up the drive and they grab the handle and they whisk it down just as if it weighed nothing. And it's such a relief to George and I not to have to drag those bins. So please pass our thanks on.
Thank you. I'll pass that on.
There was another hat. Yes.
In view of the financial constraints on the county council and the highways, is the current spending on the planning for all the road humps and several crossings and narrowings along Belbourne High Street justified?
So the thing to say there is they're separate pots of money. Yeah, and the money that comes for some of these schemes that you mentioned comes from central government under a city deal and is ring-fenced for certain things. We can't use that to fill potholes.
That does seem strange. What seems to be planned for Melbourne High Street seems to be over the top when the money could be so much better spent. The only benefit I see of the potholes is that if you're coming from Royston, it certainly slows the traffic.
I think the Greenways situation is there will be a lot more fresh new road markings going out, and also there will be parts of the roads will be repaired, obviously, as they do the changing configurations. So there will be some pluses coming out of it, which will benefit residents as well. At the moment,
can I just follow on from that? Whose responsibility are the footways? Is it district or county?
County.
The footway on the corner of the High Street, opposite Back Lane, is about that wide.
Okay.
And the edges that hang over it are like that.
Yeah.
And many times, walkers and pram pushers and so on actually have to get into the road on that corner when everyone's coming through at about 100 miles an hour. So could that attention be given to the siding out of that footpath? And there's a lot of siding. I mean, you could take it out and make it a good width. At the moment, it's about that wide.
Yeah, we can look at that, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any other questions? Anybody got? Please.
On the friends of the village, you have little 20 miles an hour camera things. They're gone. What's the news on that?
They haven't gone, they're rotated.
So they moved to another village?
No, they are.
Are those potholes here?
No, they are. We have two. The one's in Back Lane at the moment, which is to try and stop the traffic down Back Lane.
Oh, right.
And one's a new road. They do rotate over a period of time, every so many months. We found, talking to the police and other institutions, if you have one fixed in the same place all the time, constantly, people just lose it. But if you move it and then return it, it seems to do something mentally for drivers. That's what the police have said. So rotating them is the best thing. So we have got two, and we will be rotating them, or we do rotate them on a relatively regular basis. But we did need to put one up Back Lane for a while because the traffic down there is quite ferocious sometimes, and as there's no pavements down there, it's quite dangerous for especially young mums pushing buggies and things like that up there. But you will see them again, I can assure you. Any other questions? Anybody else come? Please, it's your meeting. This is your meeting. We're here to answer what we can, and if we can't, we'll pass it to Abby to answer. So, come, feel free. Whatever subject locally.
Just a suggestion. Arthur and I were just having a chuckle because about 100 years ago, when we were both on the council, we actually had a committee called Oak Hanging Trees and Shrubs. And every member of the parish council, are you listening, had an area to patrol during the month between council meetings. And we used to look out for trees that came over the over the paths and the greenery that grew out, didn't we? And it would be brought up at the parish council meeting, and then a polite note would be dropped through the letterbox. If you've got
that. I can respond to that. We do have a scheme. And twice a year, every councillor is allocated a number of roads and sidewalks. And we go round, we take pictures, we actually provide everything back to the clerk and the assistant clerk who coordinate that. And we now actually, we did this through the village, through the clerk and the assistant clerk, and then they used to write to people. But what we do now, we actually take little forms with us, And if we see a hedge or something overhanging, we just drop it through the letterbox saying, please could you look at this, and if you need any assistance, please give us a call, and we'll send out Terry. Where is he? No, but we do this twice a year, and we do write to people, and we do get quite a lot of success. But if anybody's got any issues like that, where they see something and they feel it's a bit dangerous, please just let us know, and we can just walk around there, have a look. If we agree, boom, we'll put a little notice through, and most people do respond quite quickly and favourably. We've done quite a lot this year, and I've seen quite a lot being cut back, overhanging trees, and where you've got those nasty brambly hedges that overhang as well, which catch your clothing as you walk past. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, especially as the pavements are not that clever anyway. No offence. But it is quite dangerous, and you see parents going into the road sometimes, which is dangerous with little buggies. No, we do have a scheme, and when we are active on that, and the clerk and the assistant clerk sort of press us to do our allocations every 6 months. Okay. Any other questions? Anything else you'd like? Go on. Floor's yours. Now's your chance. Okay. Right. If there's no further questions then, as I said, if people want to talk to the councillors afterwards, after this, about the council, I think the best thing is come along to some meetings, sit down, see what goes on, see how we work, and maybe sitting on a couple of the committees. We've moved most of our committees now to the evenings, so it's not during the day, which can affect people that are working. But, you know, everybody's welcome to committees, and the more people we see there, the more engagement we can have with the general public, and they can understand what we're talking about and what's on our agendas and things like that. It does sound a little bit dry, but sometimes we do have a few laughs in there. But it might be nice for people to come along and see what we do, and see whether there's something you want to get involved with. Now, to the nice piece of the meeting. We come to some awards. And the first award tonight is for a young man that showed great poise and compassion when dealing with a first aid incident in the village. And he was nominated by his college. He tended someone that had hurt themselves. He then went off to seek assistance, and he went back and he stayed with the person until the ambulance arrived. This award is the community award, The Future is Bright, and it's for people under the age of 18. And to be quite honest, I think that's absolutely amazing that a young person had the wherewithal to do this, the calmness and the maturity to do something like this, because it's never easy when you come across an accident. You know, you see something, you don't really know what you're walking into, you don't know the condition of the person, and you put yourself forward and you help. So, without further embarrassment, I would like to invite Thomas Pope, if you would like to come up and collect his award. Thomas, thank you very much indeed, and it's very well deserved, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the parish council.
Seriously.
But thank you very much. Thank you.
And can I add to that, I've known you how many years now?
Oh.
Probably about 7 or 8 years, so I remember him about this height. He comes to our judo classes.
Ooh.
Well done.
Thank you. Thanks again. Well done. Right, the next award we've got is one of the all-round good eggs. This lady has volunteered through the community, the food bank, Cozy Corner, community support for dementia, and even been a bingo caller. I think we'd just like to say thank you to Jeanette White, and all that she does, and it's a real inspiration to people in the village. So Jeanette would like to come forward. Does show community spirit and what a village is about. You're correct. Thank you very much. Right, the next award Well, this man, he walks around the village with a screwdriver in his pocket and he does things for people that way, way above and beyond the duty of any member of the village. If you ask him to help you, he will. He's a credit to us as one of our wardens, and he will be seen around the village mending things, making things, and doing so much for us. I would just like to say, Terry Munsey, please come and fetch your organ. He makes us feel proud that we've got people like him in the village to actually clean up after other people. And that's a shame to say that, but without people like him, the village would be a much worse place with litter lying everywhere. He's out with his son sometimes, quite a lot, always got a smile on his face, and he's always got his little clipper in his hand. And John, please come forward. Thank you. The next award, really, which is our Community Superstars Award. It pleases me to do this, but also I'm very, very sad that after about 30 years of doing this job, and he's retired, and we've got a new magazine now, and everything's moving forward, but for 30 years, he kept the village informed, and he kept everything going so, so well. Peter Simonet. Anyway, but we will meet up with Peter and we will have a little chat with him. But I think most of you know Peter in the village. He's been here doing this for 30 odd years, and incredible job. It's all out of his own community spirit. So I think we will give him. Move on to celebrating volunteers. And what I would like to say about this, we've got a little presentation there that Ab has put forward. I would just like to say to the people here tonight, we've lived here, my wife and I have lived here for just over 9 years now, and I got involved with the council 8.5 years ago. I got railroaded in because I've been on a council somewhere else, and I never looked back. I mean, the community spirit in this village was absolutely amazing, and I picked that up from very early doors. I mean, there are so many groups in this village that do so many lovely things, and I think I feel proud to live here and be proud to be part of that community that really does come together. We saw it amazingly through COVID, the amount of volunteers and what was going on there. We've seen it with a time bank, we've seen it with loads of other things. I think it's an amazing place to live, and please be proud to live where you are in a lovely community like this. So thank you, everybody. Unless anybody's got any late questions they want to ask before we shut down, because this is your meeting, not ours. If there's nothing else that anybody wants to say, I will just say we'll formally close the meeting and refreshments are available. Please stay, please have a chat with us. And if you've got any other questions you just want to ask on a one-to-one basis, there's a number of us here, please feel free. Okay, thank you very much all for coming. And it's a brilliant turnout. Thank you.